In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The nature of Christian joy is such that at its essence, at its heart, is that sublime union that we share with God in Christ, fulfilling all of our duties and obligations, both on the natural, but more importantly, the supernatural level, giving to God that which is his due, and once we have exhausted that relationship, fulfilling the obligations set before us according to our state in life. In doing these things well, deriving joy not from their accomplishments, but from our obedience to the things that have been placed upon us. Joy is not and should not be confused with happiness, although there are times in spiritual writings that they will use those words interchangeably. But happiness oftentimes can be associated with our appetites, with our baser desires, fulfilling our natural needs and wants, and ultimately never truly being satisfied because those needs and wants oftentimes are never fully quenched. The virtue of joy, however, leads us to that peace of soul that St. Paul exhorts the Philippians to have. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in our Lord and Savior. The peace of God that rests in our soul. In truth, this is the reason for which we were created and the reason we exist, to live in this life in order that we might enjoy the fruits of everlasting life, and in this life to live in such a way with God that there truly is a lasting and abiding peace. Not just merely resignation to conflict and difficulty, not merely the absence of conflict and difficulty, but most especially in the midst of strife and struggle, to still remain steadfast and constant with the Lord. This truly is everything about which our lives should be directed and the reason we exist, because it is in this way, allowing God to rest in us, holding fast to that peace of soul, that we give God the greatest honor and glory. We return to God that which rightly belongs to him, and in this way we best serve him. But this is not an easy thing to attain. Peace of soul can be easily taken away from us by the vagaries of the human condition, by our own temptations and sin, and maybe most especially by our own mediocrity and lethargy. I live well enough my Catholic life. I certainly don't need to push myself any further. And as traditionalists, we might even be so far as to be tempted by saying, since we do what it is that we do, knowing what it is that we know, that we are somehow better than those who do not join us in prayer or do not understand or know what it is that we know and understand. But that type of temptation doesn't lead us to God. Rather, it takes us away from him. That type of hubris and arrogance ultimately does not bring peace of soul, because we find ourselves in constant conflict then with the world. Your concern, your only concern, is this intimate relationship that you share with our Lord and Savior. And by extension, then, those who are entrusted to your care to likewise provide them the opportunity, the experiences to grow closer to the Lord. What happens to the rest of the world, what other people choose, to the degree that we might be able to impact them, to transform them, yes, we seek to do that. And certainly try to transform the world without letting the world transform us. But if it seems beyond your pay grade to do that, then focus on that which you can do. And that is to make of your home, more importantly, your heart, that place where God dwells. And then the exhortation that begins our epistle from St. Paul actually can make sense in our daily lives. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It isn't only the exhortation to rejoicing that Paul gives to the Philippians. It is also that they must do this always, not just in those moments when they receive the things that they want or they get what they think they need or deserve, but in every experience, in every moment, a mind and a heart turned toward God, rejoicing in the things of God. And it is truly, brothers and sisters, in this way that there is indeed peace. I always feel, in some ways, slightly disconnected to the exhortations that I give, because while I enjoin you to live this way, my life itself doesn't bear it out. I'm not always a man of peace. I'm not always a man whose heart and soul are turned toward God. I oftentimes take a pugnacious stance against the world, and I welcome all who come and want to war against me because I want to war against them as well. And in some strange turn of events, it is there that actually I find my peace and my comfort. The more engaged I am in taking on the world, the more peaceful and rooted I'm seem to be. In truth, when those moments slip away, or more often than not, those moments when I lose, because the world in some senses, at least on a natural level, has much more power than I do, in those moments when I lose, it is then that I truly understand of what peace actually consists. It is then that I can move past all of my ways of interacting with the world and now interact with the world with a mind and a heart in the eyes of God, which means there will be sacrifice. There might be some suffering and sorrow. I will lose some things, maybe my understanding of how the world ought to work, maybe my standing in the world and what men actually think about me. Certainly there will be a poverty, a paucity, an emptiness. And it is only there that God then can fill that up for us. But I am called to rejoice in the gifts of God and to do so always, in every moment of every aspect of my life. The church precisely enjoins us to do this on Gaudete Sunday because our Lord is almost here, and he, after all, and the glories of the resurrection are the reasons, the foundation of our rejoicing. Certainly not rejoicing in anything that I've accomplished or done, but rather rejoicing in what it is that God has done, what God wants to do for me as he draws me unto himself in the life to come, and what God is doing for me in this precise moment by inviting me into the Eucharistic sacrifice to receive his body, and in so doing, to be strengthened to continue moment after moment to witness to the truth. John the Baptist, the prophet, the last in truth prophet, as the Lord himself fulfills the law and the prophetic traditions, makes very clear who he is and what it is that he has come to do. The herald's voice in the desert, foretold so long ago by the prophet Isaiah, has now truly come to pass. We too are called in that same manner by virtue of our baptisms to go forth and to evangelize, but not necessarily in the manner of John the Baptist, but rather with his courage, his faith, his constancy, his tenacity. I'm not called to necessarily be poor and living on locusts and honey, but I am called to proclaim the truth of Christ, to be clear that I am not he, rather he has come. I am not worthy of him as much as he comes and gives himself to me. And my task is to witness to this. It is your task to witness as well. And in truth, the best witness you can give is that life of peace, that life that comes from living day in and day out in the mystery of the Lord. Because the world is searching for this peace. It has sought to find it in everything else but God, but it is still nonetheless searching. And when they see how you live your lives and the manner in which you live their lives, they will want what it is that you have. They will seek you out in order to find it. And what you will say to them is what Peter said: I have nothing to give you except that which was given to me. I give you Christ, him crucified, the Word made flesh who dwells among us. This is what you need. This is what you want. This is for what you are searching. And slowly but surely, by God's grace, they will accept that peace into their hearts and their homes, and their lives will be transformed. And it will continue onward and onward until the fullness of time, when the whole world, hopefully, has bent its knee to the mystery of Christ and proclaimed him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so for just today, the church says, rejoice. Take away some of those aspects of the beauty of this penitential season and rejoice that our King will soon be with us. But still take advantage of the days of our Advent season to rightly situate and prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. And indeed, there are so many things with which we are occupied as we move toward Christmas. And oftentimes, God is at the bottom of that list. Do not let that happen to you. Do not waste these days. If you have not taken advantage of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, there is still time to do so, and you are exhorted to do so. Because, of course, where there is sin, grace cannot be. God cannot rest and bring that peace if you are riddled from top to bottom with sin. Do what needs to be done in order to well prepare yourself for the coming of our Savior. And today, rejoice. I say again, rejoice in the Lord always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.